We are back here on In Focus on News Radio KMAN, our segment here with Riley County Police Department Director Dennis Butler. Before we continue on, it looks like we have a phone call, and we'll head to the phone lines. Good morning. You're on In Focus. Okay, go ahead, caller. You're on In Focus.
Hello, I wanted to thank you for your efforts, all your efforts, especially not having high-speed chases through town. You know, since we've lost the Crown Vic police cars, most of the replacement cars we're seeing across the nation are disintegrating in high-speed chases or are ineffectual during the chase or at the end of the chase to maintain control of the other vehicles. One of the problems we've got now, we did have exhaust gases coming up into your Ford Explorers and putting the officers in the vehicles at risk. But now there's a big recall on the Ford Explorers with the defective rear suspensions, losing complete control of the vehicle. We see across the country single car SUV wrecks and also crossing the median and having multiple SUV wrecks. The tie rod seems to be defective in those vehicles. And I noticed you have a lot of them in the parking lot there at the cop shop. Thank you for all your efforts.
Well, thanks for your call. You know, the vehicles that we purchase for our officers, and we're doing this for our detectives as well, are what they call pursuit rated in the industry. And that isn't just because we want to use them in high-speed chases. There are emergency responses at high speed that are not pursuits. And so these vehicles have beefed up suspensions and other safety features in them in case an officer is involved in a crash. And next, it is one of the most common ways an officer is seriously hurt or killed in the line of duty is through a vehicle crash. A lot of people don't know that. So we stopped buying cars off the lot for things other than patrol and started purchasing pursuit-rated vehicles. So all of my sworn employees, when they're out doing their jobs, have a greater level of protection while they're operating a department vehicle. But thank you very much. We have a fleet manager who also monitors the issues that you described so we can stay on top of it.
All right. Thanks, Robert. Thanks for the call. Appreciate that. And we continue our conversation here this morning and, you know, talking about students being back in town. And K-State Police Department is a partnering organization here for you guys in Manhattan. But I'm not sure a lot of folks are aware kind of how that relationship works between RCPD and K-State Police and how who has jurisdiction over what part of town, things like that.
Yeah, it's a good question, and we have an excellent working relationship with the Kansas State University Police Department. Chief Grice and I have known each other for many years, long before I came to Manhattan, so it was really exciting when I came here because I already knew him. Generally speaking, you know, they have primary jurisdiction on the K-State campus. What a lot of people don't know is that they have a lot of satellite facilities, I call them. So they have facilities that they own that are not on the main campus that they also have jurisdiction on, primary jurisdiction. They have to drive to and from to go visit those places. Until about a year ago, a year and a half ago, if they had come across an incident in between locations off the main campus, unless it was a serious emergency, they were the protocol was for them to contact our dispatch and dispatch one of our officers. With this MOU in place, they do have the ability to handle some of these issues. They always notify us, but sometimes they may just handle it on their own. When staffing allows for them, they even assist us down in Aggieville with walking around on a Friday or Saturday night when college students are down there. It's not every weekend, but again, when staffing allows, they also have members of their department who are on our tactical team, because if we have to deploy the tactical team at the K-State campus or at one of their facilities, it's good to have one of their officers on the team who's familiar with the location and trains with us. So overall, you know, with football season coming up, as you know, we handle the ingress and egress traffic, mostly egress after the game. We work with them closely on that for planning. It's a relationship that I'm happy is a good one, because if it wasn't or we had none, things would be a lot harder to do around here and do well.
Mm-hmm. Well, and just speaking of that, we got football season a week away. How do you approach this? I mean, last year we had limited capacity at the stadium, and now it's kind of back. It's been 2 years since we've had full capacity at the Bill.
Well, not only that, we have road construction
yeah.
that's going on that's created some complications for not so much getting in, but getting out. I expect our game attendees to experience some delays getting out compared to years past. So we're doing our best to minimize that. I heard somebody once complain about the traffic here after a game, and I've been to a lot of stadiums around the country, and I got to tell you, they've got it down here. They've got it down to a science. K-State and the RCPD do a good job getting traffic out of the stadium. I've never seen it move this quickly any place I've ever been, whether it's college or professional. I do, again, believe that this year, because of some challenges with staffing and construction, we might see some delays. And plus, you're going to have a lot of people coming back who are enthusiastic about being at a game again. So just bear with us and be patient, and I think everything will work out well.
Yeah, and not only that, but I think midway through the season, there's going to be some challenges with road construction, and you may have diversion onto Marlatt there, if I remember right, because that cattle bridge is going to come down on Kimball in October, if I'm remembering that correctly. City people can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that's going to be happening in mid-October.
Yeah, I'll let them correct you, too. I'm not sure. That could change. But we'll adjust as we have to, and that's what we do in policing. We make plans all the time for contingencies, things that we don't want to see happen but could happen. And so we'll plan for that as well.
Of course, Aggieville is a popular destination for a lot of folks, and I know you guys have a substation down there, and you kind of tell us, it's a small area. It's just a little small substation there on Morrow Street toward the end there. But what is the purpose of the substation?
Well, we have two officers that are permanently assigned to Aggieville, mostly in the evening hours. We do supplement that staffing during certain times when there's more people down there. And so the substation allows them to have a workspace, telephones, bathrooms, bring victims, witnesses, and sometimes arrestees, and have a place to stage what happens next, whether they go down to the police station or if it's a soldier, we can have the courtesy patrol assist us with getting them back to Fort Riley if they're not arrested. And so probably close to 2 years ago, the city approached us about some space that might be available in the new parking garage on the first floor. And we were very interested in that. And it's kind of been peaks and valleys ever since then about whether or not the space would be available or not. We have occasional conversations with city staff about the possibility of us moving in there. Nothing's been finalized, and it's very unpredictable at this point. Finance is involved. Some citizen in Aggieville opposition is involved. But overall, I think there's support for us to be in a larger, more contemporary space to meet the needs of a 21st century police department. And we hope it comes to fruition here sometime in the near future.
And with that, there would be training space, too, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, when we were first approached, there was a certain amount of space they were offering us. And then they approached us again with an opportunity to double that space. And we were going to use that for meeting, conferencing, some training space. At this stage, it doesn't look like that extra space is on the table anymore. But this is, again, has really taken many different forms, what's available or not. So I don't know. I don't have a final answer for you. The substation is something that is still a possibility. As far as that extra space, I wouldn't be as optimistic.
Okay. 9:33 here at News Radio KMAN. Let's take a break, and we'll continue our conversation with Director Butler in a moment here on News Radio KMAN.